Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
We're live at the Billiken Golf Classic, Norwood Hills Country Club. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX, final hour of the show. We're trying to connect with Chris Saliza, political commentator, usually joins us on Monday.
I think he's distraught after
because
the,
of the Blues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's too distraught to answer the phone.
Men's basketball coach Josh Schertz and Robbie Avila are going to join the show here. Yeah.
Kareem Abdul.
Yeah, at 11:15. They're going to be with us so about 10 minutes from now.
Excellent.
We've had some text messages roll in today. 314-436-7900. A couple of Blues texts.
Did we get get any texts about the measles?
We did not get any measles texts.
Okay.
But we did get a couple of Blues texts, and they're, I would say, varying opinions.
Different
ends of the spectrum, I guess. This one says, and it's from a 314, regarding the Blues loss, my coach always told us, the best defense is a good offense. The Jets were teeing off on us for 8 minutes at the end of regulation. You have to play to win, not play not to lose.
Yeah, but sometimes the best defense is like a really good defense.
They didn't have that either.
No, because so again, it stings so much for multiple reasons. One, because they were ahead 3-1 going into the third period. Two, because we knew they were struggling 6-on-5. They've struggled all season 6-on-5. Three, because they had multiple opportunities to kill a couple of seconds, which would have meant that they would be in the second round of the playoffs right now.
That is correct.
They missed it by a second. And four, I think that's the number we're on. We have tasted success now. We know what it feels like to advance in the playoffs, to win a Stanley Cup. And once you feel that, once you know how good it can be, it hurts worse.
So this other texter has put it very succinctly like this from a 314. Blues peed their pants at the end of the game.
Well.
Matt Pajeski says, yes, that's exactly what
that happens in overtime.
Also, Kevin from Manchester reaches out to the show.
What's up, Kevin?
Happy Sinkhole de Mayo.
Oh, is Kevin the original Sinkhole de Mayo?
I don't know.
So, believe it or not, we were going to broadcast live from the sinkholes downtown, but we are here instead.
And we are now joined by Chris Saliza, political commentator, who joins us on the show. Chris, you can see him on YouTube, Substack, contributor to News Nation. You formerly from CNN. Chris is with us now, I believe, joining us from Alcatraz. Hi, Chris.
Sorry I'm late. I was eating my taco bowl from Trump Tower for Cinco de Mayo.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He has the best.
Everyone knows those are the best taco bowls in the world.
That's right. Well, good for you for celebrating in that way. Okay. Chris, I guess there's a lot to jump into. Let's start with the comments about the economy when Trump was on Face the Nation with Kristen Welker, and she asked him, when are we in the Trump economy? And he said that the good parts of the economy are the Trump economy and the bad parts of the economy are the Biden economy.
Man, I wish life worked like that.
where you got
credit for the things that were going right, and you blame someone else for the things that were going wrong. That's like my dream scenario in life. But no, I mean, look, I think that's sort of a ridiculous position for him to take. I mean, he is the president. He has been for 105 days now. I don't know at what point it goes from the quote-unquote Biden economy to the Trump economy, but it kind of feels like we're in that, particularly because the tariffs that he put in place have had a profound impact on the economy. So I get why he says it, because politically you don't want it, but this, I mean, the facts are the facts.
Yeah, and don't you think you could argue, normally you could argue that yes, you are still in your predecessor's economy to a point in certain areas, for sure. I think that's a completely valid argument. The problem is that the issues, the economy that we're facing now, both with the price of everyday items to our 401ks, that is all of Trump's own making.
Yes,
specifically
exactly.
His.
I mean, right, Amy. If he had done nothing, right? I mean, if he had just basically said, like, I'm gonna wait 100 days to sort of see how the economy is shaking out, then I'm gonna put some things in place. Well, then I think you could say, like, look, I wanted to see if the changes Joe Biden made with the economy were effective. I wanted to, but he immediately came in and said, we're gonna put tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China, our three biggest trading partners. Then he announces these reciprocal tariffs against basically anyone we trade with in the world. And then he pauses those tariffs and says, well, we're going to make a lot of great deals. We haven't seen any of those deals yet. So, yes, you can't do something massive related to the economy and then say, well, the economy is somebody else. Like, if you're going to take actions, because, look, let's be honest, we know this. If the economy suddenly had roared, if the stock market was up 15%, if we had negotiated all these amazing trade deals, do you think Donald Trump would say, like, well, I mean, part of the credit here goes to Joe Biden and part of the credit goes to me? No, of course, he would take all of the credit for it. And I would say, actually, understandably so, because the things he did changed the economy. But the things he did changed the economy in a negative way, at least in the first 100 days. And he can say whatever he wants, but I would point you to approval polls that suggest that the American public has lost trust in him on the economy, and that's led to a broader sort of disapproval, a rising disapproval for him more broadly in how he's doing the job.
Yeah, it's how much the politically is there a price that will truly be paid for this? Because we know that our politics is sort of, you know, it's solidified the way it is in the teams. We all have our teams now, right? And we're on one side or the other. So it's almost like whatever your guy does, no matter what side you're on, that person cannot do any wrong. Will there be a price to be paid for this politically if it continues down this path? And we know that it could rebound. You know, things could change.
Absolutely.
But yeah. So
I don't know, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Is there a price to be paid for him? Not a pure political price in the sense that he can't. I don't think, be on the ballot again for president. So he will never face voters again. Is there a price that his legacy could take? Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, all presidents want to be popular. All presidents want to be remembered for doing things that helped the state of the country, most notably the economy. If things do not turn around, if Donald Trump's sort of short-term pain for long-term bet doesn't work, this will be something he will be remembered for, and it won't be fondly. In the nearer term, politically speaking, you know, I mean, I think Republican elected officials need to be concerned. When you have a president who is in the low 40s in terms of job approval, I know November 2026 feels like a very long time from now, but it will be here. And if Donald Trump is in the low 40s in approval rating, I guarantee you that Republicans will lose control of the House. And that will have an impact on Donald Trump's legacy, too, because then we'll be talking about oversight and hearings in a way we're not with Republicans in control of everything. So he's not going to be in another election, I don't think, and therefore this isn't going to make him lose another election. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have real impact on him, his legacy, and the party.
Chris, we appreciate it as always. Sorry our time was short today, but we have a basketball coach and a basketball player we got to talk to.
That's way more important.
And we like them.
Trust me,
we like them. They're fun. They have good news for us, unlike you.
Everybody take so. Sorry, I'm going to try and be more positive next week.
Hey, that's what they told us to do. Chris Eliza, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you Monday.
You bet. Bye.
He is the He is the writer of the So What newsletter, also YouTube, Substack, and News Nation. Chris Saliza. We will talk to Josh Schertz and Robbie Avila with men's basketball at St. Louis University.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Next, send Amy with you until 12 o'clock today. We are joined now by men's basketball coach Josh Schertz, Robbie Avila, the center for the men's basketball team, and they're with us now. How's it going, fellas?
It's going good. Nice Cinco de Mayo day out here, so nice balmy day.
It's exactly what you'd expect on a Cinco de Mayo, isn't it?
Yeah,
it feels very Cinco de Mayo-ish out here. It's actually, the temperature, it's 5 degrees, so it's nice. It truly is Cinco de Mayo, both in day and temperature.
Man, this is a great day for some golf.
Yeah. Are you guys golfing?
Unfortunately, I am not. You know, they didn't want me to show up, the rest of the people, so I'm gonna take a step back today.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
he can't golf, so there's no choice.
I am a terrible golfer, so only person in this whole deal worse than me is him, Robbie. So
he won't see me on the course, though, so.
only person worse is him, so thankfully neither one of us are golfing. We don't want to slow this thing down any more than it is.
You'll just be in the cart.
Yeah, I'll be in the cart. I'm driving around with Liv, so that's the deal. Riding around and then going to heckle the heckle the players and then make myself feel good about my game watching them play and cheat.
Yeah.
Hang on, is there going to be booze out there? Do we know?
Oh, there's going to be booze, drinking and booze. What would just be heckling and actual alcohol, so both.
So how do you guys feel about how this first season at SLU went?
You want to take that one, Rob?
I think it was a good foundational year. Obviously, coming into a new place, new league, there was definitely going to be some bumps in the road, and we had our fair share of hardships throughout the season. But I think it definitely took this year to kind of learn about myself and what it is in this league. And I'm just looking forward to continuing building off of what we did this year and try to, you know, make it even better next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think any year you have unforeseen circumstances that happen during a journey for a team. Sometimes they're really good unforeseen circumstances. Sometimes there are difficulties, and you know we lost four guys for the year early in the year, and our guys I thought did a great job of kind of overcoming that, finding a way to 19 wins, 11 wins in the conference, made the NIT. Certainly wasn't what the goal was at the beginning, but I think when you look back at a year, you're like, did we get everything out of it as a group? And I felt like we had a really fun group to come to work with every day. Like Robbie said, I think we planted some seeds that'll bloom here in the years to come. And that group, you know, Gibson, Isaiah, the seniors, Kobe, really proud of what they did, proud of the team for how it finished. And I think, great times are ahead, though, with that as a building block.
Well, I guess this could go for both of you, but I'll start with you first, Coach Schertz. What does right now in this offseason look like for you?
In terms of, we've had a great spring. I think we've been able to retain our main guys. You know, we our top eight scorers, five are returning. The three that aren't graduated. So in this era, to be able to have continuity, I think that's such an overlooked piece. The best gets are the ones you already have. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the portal, and I think we've added, six really good players. We've got, on paper, whatever the number one ranked class in the A-10. coming in on top of their retention. And then, you know, we got a good freshman group coming in. So the spring couldn't have gone any better for what we wanted to do. Nothing's won on paper, but on paper we have a really good team. But now, you know, like Rob knows, the hard work starts in June. Everybody gets here, and we're on the practice floor June 2nd.
Wow.
And so it's quickly here, but now we got to go do the work. But, you know, every year you want to have a team that has the talent, the character, the depth to win a championship. You know, we have those things. Now it's about the hard work and going to do all the other things that championship teams do.
So this is coming up here with the summer. You're going to start your practices very soon, as you mentioned. You're also you've both benefited from the transfer portal, but it's also a challenge. So what's it like to balance that? Because as you get, you know, closer to the next season, you have to put a team together. Do you like the way it is? Could there be some adjustments? How do you see it?
I think it's hard to adjust when something's, you know, the way it is. You know, it's hard to put a genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to change a whole lot. Of course, I think there's such value in continuity, relationships, shared experiences. I think those create like real relationships with coaches, players. Like, you know, I can't, you know, speak for Robbie, but you know, like, you know, we'll have a relationship, you know, the rest of my life, you know, and from my time coaching him. And when you get to coach guys that long, I had a couple guys in the United States that I was with for 6 years. Mm. You know, I mean, you just have this incredible relationship that develops over the time. And that's the holy grail of this thing to me, you know, is the relationship piece. That's the part that, you know, as you go through their lives, and that's the part with your staff, your players. So I don't want that to get lost. But for us, you know, to us to build the program we want, we got to have continuity. We got to have retention. And, you know, the balance of those things, retaining. Hopefully every year we're less dependent on the portal than the year before. I think we had 10 or 11 last year. It was 6 this year. My hope is that number is 3 or 4 the next year or 2. And that it keeps reducing down, and we're dependent on the retention more so than the portal.
Robbie, you mentioned the workout start. You're back on the court June 2nd. Is that what you said?
Yep.
So what does that summer look like? Are you back on the court continuously from June 2nd? Do you get a break in the middle of the summer? Is there no off season for you?
No, yeah. So we'll obviously start, you know, here at the beginning of June.
Yep.
You know, we'll really get after it. But then he's really good with, you know, giving us a break in between. You know, obviously it's going to be a long, long season. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start, you know, in the summer like this, you know, essentially the season doesn't end until, you know, March, maybe April. And so, you know, we get a little bit of a break in between, you know, and at the end of June, the beginning of July, and then we'll come back in July, go after it again, and then we'll get a little break again before school starts. And then once we come back for school, that's kind of where the season, you know, really, really begins. And, you know, we'll be going for like 8 months straight, and, you know, we won't really have that, you know, weeks off time like we will in the summer. And so I definitely do take advantage of those times off, because like I said, it's going to be a long season, but you know, I think we're built for it, and we're looking forward for it.
Josh Schertz and Robbie Avila with men's basketball at St. Louis University with us now. And you both were playing in the Valley, and you come to the A-10. How different are the leagues?
I would say it's definitely a little bit of a jump. I think getting used to this league, it was a little bit more physical. I think from 1 to 15, you know, the guards and the bigs, you know, I think it was a little bit more physicality, a little bit faster of a game. Guys were more athletic, but the Valley had some teams that, you know, where guys were, you know, just athletic as, you know, some of the guys in these leagues. And so I think it just took a little bit to adjust to, but I think overall it's just really the physical things. There's good players in every league. You know, the Valley has they're really, really good guys. There's a couple guys I went to, you know, NBA from the Valley, but you know, the A-10 also has those kind of guys here. And so I think it was more just a year for me to kind of get adjusted to this pace and athleticism of this league. And you know, that was kind of the, you know, biggest difference I noticed.
Were there coaching adjustments from one league to the next? You sort of,
yeah, he was worse this year than he was the last 2 years. It was
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, I struggled this year.
What's his problem, do you think?
I don't know. I tried to figure that one out.
how long do we have? How long is the show?
We've got like four or five hours.
We have a couple of hours. All right, then we can get us a couch. Let's lay down. Let's talk through all the issues. You know, trying to navigate around this guy. You know,
well,
I mean, how about that?
See, yeah. Blames it on me every time.
He takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, you know, that's it. You know, coaches, you know, yeah, no, it's all coaching, you know. But, no, it's different. I don't think the coaching The difference to me was more, I mean, obviously there's great coaches in the Atlantic 10. There's great coach in the Valley. I think like what Robbie said is true. The league is more athletic. It's a little bit taller at every position. It's a little more athletic at every position. The quality of teams is a little bit better. And it's deeper. I didn't think there was a lot of, in this league, there was a lot of teams you walked in, you know, 1 through 15 where you're like, this one's a gimme.
Yeah.
And you saw that in the first round of the tournament. You know, I mean, even day one, you know, Fordham wins their first game, right? They come in, you know. I mean, so it was just like, I think the 15 and 14, I believe, both won their games the first day of you know, of the conference tournament. So it just kind of shows, like, the depth of the teams and how good the league was top to bottom, you know, that creates that. LaSalle, I think, won as well. So, you know, I think those are the big differences. It's more athletic, more size. The depth of the teams, and the, you know, are better. And the quality, the level you got to get to every night is high, in terms of, you know, it's high-level competition. Doesn't matter who you're playing and where you're playing. If you're not ready to answer the bell, you're going to get beat that night. And I think in the Valley, you had a couple teams maybe at the back end. You know, there's a really good league, but back end, you could kind of, you know, you didn't have to maybe be at your A game.
Illinois State.
Don't mention them. We lost to them.
Oh, dude, that's
that
right.
Was one of the games.
I'm sorry.
We lost.
This
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Went
I, that's where
there.
I went.
Oh,
and
really?
The, yeah.
We won't hold that against you. No, but
well,
they,
you can't. We haven't been to the tournament since
over?
The '90s.
Yeah. That's what the interview's over.
Yeah,
they. That was one of the three games we lost in the Valley. Was Illinois State at home?
I'm sorry.
Trust me. Yeah, no, disappointing. Yeah. We're walking out. We're storming out of the interview as we speak.
I'm done.
I'm so sorry.
No, it was bringing up bad memories.
I forgot about that.
Other than Chris Ronge, how was St. Louis treated you guys?
Yeah, exactly.
I coached shirts. I saw you were at the Blues game.
I was. I went to the Blues game. We went to a Keith Urban concert this weekend.
Nice.
So Blues game was awesome. Not as awesome for them in game seven, but...
like you too went to the Urban concert?
No.
You didn't get invited?
I didn't get invited.
What?
I didn't get that memo.
No,
so
we spent enough time together.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with
need
that.
To not...
I actually was there just in a separate section. I didn't want to be with them.
Limiting our social time is not a bad thing, you know. Like I said, we spend plenty of time in the basketball court.
Yeah.
We don't need any social time. I don't even know if he could. You don't even know who Keith Urban is?
Oh yeah, he's a country singer. My mom loves Keith Urban.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
You know.
My mom likes him too.
I honestly did not know a single song, but I was there.
Okay. Nice cover up. Oh,
yeah,
I haven't even heard of the guy.
Yeah.
I just
yeah,
went.
I know I've heard of him. I've heard of him because he married Nicole Kidman.
Yes, he did.
Oh yeah, he did. That's right.
Yeah, so I heard of him because of that. I didn't know his music.
Well,
I didn't listen to country.
There's no way he's as weird as Tom Cruise, right?
I don't know.
He can't be.
He's kind of. He looks interesting. Does he still have long, flowing locks?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's got great hair.
Yeah.
I thought about this
what
though when
likes.
I was watching this before. I thought about this watching it perform though. I don't think there are any rock stars that are bald in any genre of music. Like you could be in rap maybe, but in any like rock.
Wait, Bono.
Country,
He's not bald.
He's not bald.
Oh man!
No. What are you talking about?
I don't think you can be bald and be a rock star.
Bono's not bald.
No. What are you out of your
was
mind?
Was Phil Collins bald?
Yes.
Phil Collins. Yes. There we go.
There
okay,
you go.
So Phil Collins.
Yeah, he was.
That's
bald.
A good one. All right.
Let me ask you this question.
Huh?
When you've got your player sitting next to you and he takes the opportunity to roast you,
yeah.
Do you want to cut back on playing time?
Well, I will. Yeah, I mean that's a big thing. Yeah, it'll cut back. It'll be chopped. I am noting, making mental notes of each comment, and each
yep.
comment is taking time off his playing time. Yeah,
wow, yeah.
And not only playing time, but usage rate go down.
Oh,
yep.
Wow.
And a little more running.
A little
in
more
practice.
Running. Yeah, a little more running in practice.
My knees are hurting. I don't think I'll be at that summer practice June 2nd.
Podcasting isn't just evolving; it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.